أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وارواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, we're gathered again. Allah has again given us the tawfiq and the blessing to come to the tent of Imam al-Hussein. And we are here to remember him, to commemorate him, and to prepare ourselves, as our brother said, for the return of the Imam of the time. For us, these nights are very serious. We're gathering spiritual energy. We're preparing ourselves to serve. We hope that the return of our Imam is immediate, and we're ready to serve him as soon as he returns. We're not waiting for him. We're ready right now. What we're doing is to go over these ayat of the Holy Quran. We go over the ahadith that we find from Ahlul Bayt. And in this way, we remind ourselves of our duties. Because we know that the Ahlul Bayt have had companions and they've been on different levels. Some of the companions of Ahlul Bayt were what we call khawas. These were the special elite followers of the Ahlul Bayt who were actually beneficial to the cause, to the extent that their role was pivotal in history. We hope to be these people. We're going over these verses of the Holy Quran. We're looking for this inspiration and ways that we can prepare. I'm mentioning the ahadith, but also the verses I'm going to be reciting, hoping that not only is this majlis one where we hear and we're inspired, but later brothers, mu'mineen and mu'minat, go and speak to others about these things. Explain these concepts to others. Help and assist the cause. That's the idea. So today we're going to start off, it's Surah Baqarah. It's the first story from Nabi Dawood that we're going to be discussing. It's Surah Baqarah, and it's starting with verse number 246. We didn't complete that one yet. 246. If you guys will look along with me on the Arabic, the last part of the verse we still didn't talk about. There's some points from the last part of the verse that I'd like us to see. For those of you who are familiar with the Arabic language, looking at the words of Quran themselves, looking at the verses themselves, and see where it is we derive these lessons from. If we see that, yes, this is something, a clear understanding from the Holy Quran, inshallah, that'll make it easier for us to then speak to others about these things and explain to them, this is our responsibility. This is our responsibility. So we'll start. This is the last part of the verse. So we know where we are, right? Where we are is that Bani Israel, they asked their prophet, they said, you appoint a king for us. We want to do jihad fi sabilillah. We've been driven off of our lands. Our children have been taken from us. We learn from a hadith, the women have been taken as slaves. Basically, we've lost all control over our own destiny. We lost everything we had gained in the time of Musa. And now we are madloom. And we know that we need assistance. We need a leader. We need someone to rally around. A wali. So, they spoke to their prophet. Their prophet said, are you sure you want this? You're making a big request here. Are you sure you want this? Will you really do jihad fi sabilillah? They assured their prophet they would do this. Allah then made it wajib for them to fight. When Allah made it wajib for them to fight, the majority of those same people turned away. So let's read the verse together. فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ When jihad, when qital, when fighting was prescribed for them, when Allah made it wajib for them, what happened? Tawallaw illa qalilan minhum. Except for a small group of them, everybody turned away. By the way, brothers and sisters, let's keep this in mind. Until Allah sees that readiness in us, He won't send the 12th Imam. It won't be that we'll repeat the same story, we'll pray for the imam, then he'll come and then we'll turn our backs. There has to be a group from among us, that critical mass has to be there, that are committed to the cause, whatever it takes. Inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq, and we go towards the nights, the later nights, you'll remember, you'll be reminded of the sacrifice of those believers who, when they were told that the imam told them, he said, look, go take the night as a steed, run, take people, go, leave me alone. They said that if we were taken, if we were burned, and our ashes were scattered, and this happened to us 1,000 times, we would not abandon you. There's some people who are like that. These stories are very real for them. So until Allah sees that readiness, the critical mass is ready for that, the imam's not returning. But these people, after they made those big du'as, they turned away, except for a small amount. Illa qalilan minhum, a little group. Now we learn from our imam, this is Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, he tells us, he says, kana al-qalil 60 alfa. He says, actually that small group that was left, that didn't abandon the cause, what you're going to find out though, is that the test continued. The story of Dawood, the test didn't end right there. Some people passed this initial test. How many passed the initial test? 60,000. Now question, 60,000, is that really a few? It seems this is relatively speaking. How many had signed up? How many said they would serve? How many promised to be there? From that group, only 60,000 remained. Something else seems to be the case also. When you compare the army of the mu'mineen to the army of Goliath, 60,000 is nothing. Qalil, a little group. So 60,000 remained. They haven't, there's another test on the way. There's another test on the way. By the way, for all of us, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us. He's seeing who really believes, who really wants this, who really be there. The test is there. We're all going through this. We're all deciding. We're all choosing. So 60,000 made it. Now, a couple of points that we learn from the verse itself, okay? For those of you who have this on your Qur'ans, let's look at the verse itself. One of the things that we learn from the verse itself, it says that, we're going to continue now, the last part of the verse. It says, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was alim, was knowledgeable about the ظالمين and the oppressors. What's the lesson we get from this? What's the lesson from this part of the verse? Accepting oppression is dhulm. Goliath, I just said, we reminded ourselves, Goliath has robbed them of all of their independence, taken them away from their lands, humiliated them. Now the call comes, jihad, defend yourselves, fight back. No, I don't need to fight back. They turned away. And it says Allah is knowledgeable about the dhalimeen. Brothers and sisters, accepting dhulm is dhulm. Accepting dhulm is dhulm. Islam, the religion we're taught, the message of Imam Hussein, hayhat minna dhilla. You might do anything to me. You might take water away from me. You might kill me. You might take my women as prisoner. But hayhat minna dhilla. Even to accept oppression is beneath us. If that means we lose everything, we lose everything. The message of Imam Hussein. Dhulm is so ugly in Islam. Make sure you teach this to the next generation of Muslims. We don't do dhulm. We don't accept dhulm. If we see others are madhloom, we assist those madhloomin. The message of Islam that we're learning from Ahlul Bayt, from Quran and Sunnah, the true Islam is that we support the madhloomin wherever they are. Even here in America. Even here in America.
Yes, it's true. We're going to talk a little bit about Palestine. Everybody is aware of the zulm that is happening right now to our brothers and sisters in Palestine. Although they are not Shia of Amirul Mu'mini. We'll talk a little bit about them. But even outside of the circle of Islam, if there is a madhloom, we support those madhloomin. This Islam is going to be the one that brings back the Mahdi. God forbid, let's say the Islam that we've accepted is one that allows us to accept and institutionalize racism. It happens sometimes. As opposed to us looking out for the madhloomin, freeing the madhloomin, wanting to better their lives, I accept this. So we have to be ready for that. Right? Islam, it's not easy to be a Muslim. You don't want to turn away when the test comes. Well, how am I when it comes to dhulm? So one lesson, one reminder, because it says Allah was knowledgeable about these dhalimeen, those people who didn't do jihad, didn't fight back. We don't care if we're dominated by others. Oh, you don't care? Allah knows those dhalimeen. So that's one point. The other point, and this one is good for us to keep in mind now, because we want to also talk about relevant issues. We're watching what's happening in Palestine right now. Sometimes for us, as Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen, you'd be surprised, sometimes we have to convince other Shia of Amirul Mu'mineen that the issue of Palestine is even an issue. Sometimes you'll find that our own Shia brothers and sisters, Palestine, really? It hasn't clicked. Now let's look at this verse again. Remember, going back to the same verse a little bit earlier. Why is it the mu'mineen at that time are doing jihad? They said what it was. God told us what it was. They said, when their prophet, I'm going back to the same verse, their prophet said, are you sure you want this? You're asking me to ask God to appoint a ruler over you. Are you sure you want to fight and do jihad fi sabilillah? They said their words. مَالَنَا وَمَالَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا. That, what is it? What's the problem? Why wouldn't we fight when we've been kicked out from our lands? Ayatollah Jawadi Amali, may Allah protect him, he explains this point. He says that Goliath wasn't trying to blow out the light of Allah. Sometimes when you do jihad fi sabilillah, sometimes the reason you have to do jihad fi sabilillah, somebody's trying to wipe Islam off the map. They don't want Islam to exist. Then wajib jihad fi sabilillah. Sometimes you're getting back Muslim land from oppressors. That's also jihad fi sabilillah. Getting Palestine back from the Zionist state of Israel is jihad fi sabilillah. These are verses of Quran. We must support that cause. Must support that cause. So, now we move on to our new verse. So our new verse, brothers and sisters, inshallah, you'll read it along with me. This is verse number 247. So let's look at the verse. Let's look at the Arabic. Let's look at the English. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال لهم نبيهم. Their prophet now spoke to the mu'mineen. So they made that dua. They said they wanted a leader, they wanted a king, they want to jihad fi sabilillah. Now the prophet gives them the answer from God. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Talut, in English, Saul. Saul. Talut as your king. Allah has... Keep this in mind, because we're going to focus on why it is Allah chose these words. The response of the prophet. He says, Allah has chosen for you Talut as a king. What else? Bani Israel didn't like the selection of Talut. The Muslims at that time, they weren't happy with that selection. They protested. You're going to see how ugly it gets when iman is superficial. If iman is not deep, what happens? Sometimes it gets ugly.
They're speaking now to that same prophet. They came to the prophet. You choose a king for us. Tell Allah. Right? What did they tell the prophet?
قَالُوا. They said, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا.
How can he be the king over us?
وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ.
We have more right to be kings than Talut. You're talking to your own prophet.
وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِّنَ الْمَالِ.
Talut hasn't been given a lot of wealth. So one of the problems, we have more right to be king than him. Secondly, he hasn't been given a lot of wealth. The prophet again speaking. We're going to go over all of these points. The prophet again speaks to them.
قَالَ. So the prophet speaking. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ.
Allah has chosen him over you.
وَزَادَهُ بَسْتَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ.
Allah has increased him in physique. He's the heftiest, strongest of you. What else?
عِلْم وَالْجِسْم.
So he's more knowledgeable than any of you. He's vastly more knowledgeable. He's also stronger.
وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ.
Allah gives his kingdom to whoever he pleases.
وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
And Allah is all bounteous, knowing. So we're going to go over all of these points, inshallah. We'll look at this verse carefully, see what inspiration we can get from these verses. So now, going back to that verse, right? Because we're told to ponder over the verses of Quran. We don't just read these stories and they don't really matter. It's just khatam of Quran. No, we're pondering each one of these verses. What's God's message to me? This first point, you look at it and look at the verse itself and see where you get this in the verse. When they tell the prophet that how dare he be king? I'm using the words. But they said that we have more right to be king than him. One thing you'll notice when you look at the verse is they don't explain why it is to their prophet that he would have more of a right, they would have more of a right to be a king than he did. They don't tell him why. They don't get into the details. Well, let's sit, let's discuss. Just explain to them that we have more right to be king. Why is that? What we learn from the tafsir is that the reason for this is that it was so clear in their mind. There's no need for discussion. You and I are going to have an argument about a point. You're going to explain to me, Sheikh Usama, but we need to do this in this way, right? There's one time when you have to convince me, I have no idea what you're talking about. Another time, the reasoning is so clear, you just say, Sheikh, this is wrong, but I already know. Right? If it's that clear, then you don't even bring up why it's wrong. So what was the reason? This is important for us to keep in mind. They say that actually two tribes among the children of Bani Israel, among the Muslims of that time, there were two tribes. One tribe had the honor of having prophets come from that tribe. So there was one tribe amongst the children of Bani Israel. This particular tribe was the one where always the prophets would come out of. So one tribe is like that. The other tribe, there was another tribe. That tribe was the tribe where all kings would come from that tribe. Talut, Saul, isn't from either tribe. He's not from this tribe that the prophets come from. He's not from the tribe that kings come from. We are from the tribe that kings come from. If anybody, you're going to choose a king, you choose it from us. How dare you? But see the arrogance though. You're talking to your own prophet. So, a couple of things for us to keep in mind. So one of the points that we said was that they had two arguments against Saul. One of them is that Saul isn't from the right family. In America, we say he's not very presidential. Right? Sometimes somebody's qualified, but this guy, even if we're careful, sometimes in our family, and hopefully we're not like, let me mention the second problem that they had, and then we'll make it a little bit practical. They said one point was that he's not from the right family. He's not from the right family. The kings always come from one family. The prophets come from another family. We're from that family. So not him. One. Secondly, he hasn't been given a lot of wealth. Sometimes when you want to choose a leader, and sometimes in some communities even, some Muslim communities, it's about how much money you have. Money buys influence. I can throw a little cash around. How much will you contribute to Ashura this year? Bismillah. Of course, I'd like to see things done this way. Fi sabilillah. Just because I have a little bit of money. Or look at American politics right now. How much are they spending on this election? Huh? Both parties. I'm not going to mention any names, anybody get angry. But for one of the candidates, two brothers, and I'm not going to mention any names, donated almost $1 billion. Almost $1 billion for one candidate. Out of the many, we haven't even got down to... Some people are so naive. Some people really believe, that, even in today's modern day, they really believe that if they go to the ballot box and they vote, they can change destiny. I'm exercising my right as an American and I'm voting. How naive. How much does AIPAC give? Is there even a direct vote in America? Legally. Like, this is like, you know, basic American power. Everybody should know these things. So you with your one vote, the Muslim vote this year will count. Naive. How much money do you have? How much do they donate? How much do you donate? No, but we'll let them know. I'm not saying, by the way, sometimes, for local elections, sometimes, we will throw our weight around. There's sometimes we will do that. But on the national level, right now, at this stage, so that's on the national, but sometimes even amongst Muslims, some Muslims, they think that money buys influence. I want to choose a leader. So, now what happens is that sometimes while that's the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look for two other traits, qualifications. When he wanted to choose somebody, this is the person who should be the leader. God chose two things. One of them is knowledge. The first one he mentions that he's vastly superior to you in knowledge. He knows what he's doing. He'll be able to guide you. He'll be able to lead you. He'll be able to wage war. He's a general. He's a king. The other one is jism. He's strong. Physically, he's strong. So Saul, they said, was the heftiest and mightiest of Bani Israel. Brave. Sometimes people are big, but they're not brave. I don't know if you guys have seen that. Sometimes somebody will be, they're big and they're impressive. But then fighting, it's in the heart, right? Sometimes if somebody is serious, you have a little guy. I remember a story once. I'll tell you, share the story. My uncle told me. He said once he was watching and two cars crashed into one another. And two guys get out of the car. One of these big guys, like American football players, a huge ogre, he gets out of one car, and then a little guy gets out of the other car. So it seems like it was the fault of the big guy, the little guy. So the big guy comes over there to beat up the little guy. And he's walking to get the little guy. And he said the little guy broke down into a kung fu stance. Kicked off his flip-flops. He gets down. And the big guy saw that. The big guy, he left. He went back to the car. So sometimes it's not just how big you are, but he was brave. Okay? So this guy is brave, capable, qualified, knowledgeable. So two quick lessons for us to get from this before we move on. One of them is the lesson of knowledge, brothers and sisters. The first trait, because all of us, inshallah, we also want to be leaders in our own circles. We're talking about becoming khawas. Guiding people, helping others, assisting the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to be qualified. What should we look for? One of them, knowledge. Imam Ali, beautiful hadith from Imam Ali. Salawat, please. وَعَجِّلْ فَرَاجَهُمْ Brothers and sisters, knowledge, Imam Ali tells us, الْعِلْمُ سُلْطَانٌ Knowledge is power. Ali alayhi salam. Knowledge is power. He says, whoever has knowledge, this person dominates. Whoever doesn't have knowledge, these people are dominated. Brothers and sisters, we want to make sure while we're here, we're acquiring knowledge. I'm going to focus on religious knowledge, but also keep in mind when it comes to secular knowledge. Please, brothers and sisters, Shia Adhamirul Mu'mineen, when you go to school, don't be mediocre. Don't be average. Don't float. Don't coast. If you're going to go to school, do it well. We want all of this information in the minds of the Muslims. You have access to a school, instead of floating, al-ilmu sultano, knowledge is power. Now the point though I'd like us to focus on in preparation for the coming of the Imam is the idea that knowledge of Islam we want to get. That's power. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, make this something that you do from now on, that you constantly acquire knowledge about Islam. You keep regaining knowledge about Islam. You remain a student of Islam. Don't let acquiring knowledge about Islam be something that you do at one part of your life, at one stage of your life, and then after that, I have no need for knowledge. I've learned enough. Instead, al-ilmu sultanun. The more knowledge you have about Islam, the more you update your Islamic knowledge, the better it will be for the cause, especially for the Khawas. Especially for the Khawas. Knowledge about the practical laws of Islam, knowledge about tafsir of Quran, correct knowledge from the correct sources. Correct knowledge from the correct sources. The other one is just a simple reminder for us to do exercise, brothers and sisters. Right? Allah increased him in two things. One of them was his ilm, the other one was jism. He was physically strong. Brothers and sisters, this is something also that we need to correct amongst ourselves sometimes. Sometimes, for some of us, once we get a little older, once we get a little bit more busy, you don't really see us doing a lot of exercise. For us, for young men, sisters, try not to listen, okay? Try not to listen. For us as young men, sometimes when we're going to get married, we start exercising then to trick her. Then after we have her, we let it go. Alhamdulillah, now she's here. But for all of us, brothers and sisters, we need to make this the culture, our culture as mu'mineen and mu'minat, that we exercise. That we exercise. That the soldiers of the 12th Imam are physically capable. That this is a culture among us. Now, another point though that we get from this verse, we find this in the tafsir, we find this in other verses of the Quran. Why is it that for them it was such a sticky point that Saul wasn't from those two families? There were families that were kings, there were families that are prophets. Why is it that it was such a big deal? The prophet saying Allah chose him. If you look at the Arabic of that verse, you'll see twice in the beginning. Remember, this is something we learned from Allama Tabatabai. The prophet's trying to correct their understanding. They have a deficiency in understanding. Let's go back to that other verse, the first verse. In the first verse, if you guys remember, what it said in the Arabic was that they went to their prophet and they said, you appoint a king for us. You appoint a king for us. Now, obviously, if you're saying, fi jihad fi sabilillah, a king, you appoint a king would mean Allah appoint a king. But they said you. They didn't specify. Go ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to appoint a king. This is now from Allama Tabatabai. He says, if you notice, when you see in this verse that I just recited, twice the prophet talks about Allah, Allah chose Talut to be your king. Allah chose him over you. Why does he say Allah twice? He says to take care of that deficiency in understanding. You're talking about God's selection. God chose him. How dare you? You're coming and telling the prophet, we have more right. Now, this next point is very important for us. Brothers and sisters, sometimes the reason we're not able to experience God's greatness is flaws in belief. Sometimes you and I might actually have a flaw in our belief. We want to make sure that our beliefs aren't wrong. So what we believe about God, that's correct. What I believe about Qiyamah, and the Day of Judgment, that's correct. What I believe about Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salam, and my responsibility towards Ahlul Bayt, I want to make sure I have correct knowledge. Islam, if it's presented to you backwards, it can be a poison. Religion can either be something that awakens you, that gets you ready, jihad fi sabilillah, ready for the imam, or religion can be used to put you to sleep. You want to be real careful about your sources. Where am I getting my knowledge from? Where did I get my knowledge from? So that it's the correct Islam. Sometimes beliefs, if they're wrong, they can be poison. Why is it? Question. Why were Bani Israel, the Muslims of that time, when they were told by their prophet, Allah chose Talut, why did they say to Talut that no, we're not ready for him? The reason is this. Bani Israel at this time, we're not going to be able to cover this fully tonight. Bani Israel had a problem with the concept of Bada. I'm going to explain this, inshallah, a little bit more tomorrow. For now, just a teaser of what is Bada. Bani Israel, they believed that Allah, once he decided something, when Allah created the universe, they believed Allah created the universe and he ordained everything up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. God has fixed everything up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. They believed even God can't change fate. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's been written. It's been written. Let me share the verse with you. We'll leave the lesson, inshallah, for later. But the verse of Quran. So if you guys want to write this down or look at the verse yourselves. Surah number 5, verse number 64. We'll read it together. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Waqalatil yahood. So the yahood believe this. Waqalatil yahood. Yadullah maghloola. The hand of Allah is chained. Even Allah, once he's ordained it, Allah created the world, he fixed it, he made it, everything, we believe that. But even God can't change destiny. It's written to be like this. Even Allah can't change it. Yadullah maghloola. Since they believe that the hand of Allah was chained, and then Allah corrects that understanding. Right? But inshallah, because I don't want to lose this point, it's an important point, inshallah, we'll leave this for another time. Inshallah, we will all be blessed with the remembrance of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. But first, you'll join me, inshallah, in welcoming our speaker. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifinaik. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين